I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you will open with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I will be reading my own translation of Psalm 27, but it shouldn't be too much different from what you have there, Lord willing. You also find the translation in the paper that I wrote for you, for the presbytery. Thus saith the Lord, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the keeper of my life. Of whom shall I dread? The evil ones approached from on high to eat my flesh. They stumbled and fell. If they encamp an army above me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, I will be confident in this. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his hiding place in the day of evil. I asked, and he causes me to hide. He will fasten me upon the rock. And now he raises up my head above my enemies round about, and I sacrifice in his tent, a sacrifice of joy, of happy singing, and making music to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, my voice, my cry. Have mercy and give answer. For you call to my heart, seek my face, and your face, O Lord, I seek. Do not hide your face from me, nor turn your anger on your servant. You are my helper. Do not leave me nor forsake me, God of my salvation. My father and my mother have left me. The Lord will gather me to him. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of mine enemies. Do not give my soul to hardness because evil witnesses arise and speak lies. Because I believe, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord to be strong, and he will strengthen your heart. And wait on the Lord. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, in the morning, at the beginning of the day, we lift our souls to you, asking you to indict your Spirit among us through your Word, that you and you alone might be glorified in all things. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to say a word, and I want you to think, what does that word mean to me? I don't want you to say it out loud, but just think it in your mind. When I say this word, what comes to mind when I say this word? And the word is radical. When you think of the word radical, what is it you think of? Do you think of some long-haired hippie in the 60s with a tie-dye t-shirt? Do you think of a mathematical symbol? A radical. There's a rock group called the Radicals. The word radical has lots and lots of meanings. And whatever it was that came into your mind, did you ever think of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ a radical? And I think that the answer to that is yes. And I think that the proof of that we will find in this text. What is a radical? What does it mean to be dedicated to something? A radical is one who has sold himself out, not for himself, but for something that he perceives is greater. And isn't that what Jesus says? I have come not to do my own will, but the will of my Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ was truly a radical. Did you ever think of radically dedicating yourself to God? To sell your whole self out, would you give your life for God, for Jesus, who gave his life for you? Christ was radically dedicated to God. Just mention one passage. In another passage, he takes out a whip and he whips the money changers in the temple. And what does it say about him? The zeal of the Lord has filled my heart. Christ calls you to radically dedicate yourself to him when he says, you must hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, for my sake. And what does he mean by hating? He doesn't mean actually hating them, but loving Jesus more than loving them. Therefore, my exhortation for you today, brothers, is to radically dedicate yourself to God. And the question that comes is, how does this happen? And we see it in the text placed before us. The first thing that the psalmist says, he talks about the nature of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And this person, this God, is the one to whom we are to radically dedicate ourselves to. And this, brothers, is the first time that God is mentioned as light. God is the creator of light in creation. God provides a light for the people of Israel when they're fleeing Egypt. But here is the first time that light is said to be God. God is light. We read that in the New Testament. But here, in this psalm, is the first time it is mentioned. We have the light of creation. We have the light of knowledge. And in Esther, light is referred to as joy. But here, God is referred to as light. And I believe that what the psalmist is doing is he's taking all of these things and he's weaving them together to tell us God. God is our creator. He is the one that gives us knowledge. And in God, we have the fullness of joy in all things. Light brings these things to our hearts. And God himself being light, we are to radically dedicate ourselves to this light. And finally, God is our salvation, the light that shines in the darkness of our souls. In the next verse, it talks about the enemies. The enemies of the radical are destroyed. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And who are these enemies? When we look at the life of David, we know who his enemies were at his time. But who are our enemies now? But the flesh, the world, and the devil. These are our enemies. And we have a precious promise in this passage telling us that these enemies will stumble and fall. Though our enemies rise up against us, they will not succeed in their endeavors, even though they might seem like they succeed for a while. So here we have the confidence of the Christian. Your enemies become God's enemies. Prior to your salvation, you were on the enemy's side. You were against God. You hated God. You did not want anything to do with God. You were on the side of God's enemies. But once you were translated into the light of God's gracious covenants and his kingdom, you become his children, his son. And God's enemies become your enemies. And the promise here is that they will stumble and fall. Therefore, my brothers, radically dedicate yourself to God. The next thing that the psalmist says is the heart of what it is to believe.
It is the heart of what it is to radically dedicate yourself to God. Look at the passage with me. Verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. One thing he asks, and this is the essence of his whole confidence. This passage is the kernel of the radical dedication to God. One thing I have asked of the Lord. To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you are dwelling in the fortress of God's love, you are in protection against the enemies that surround us. If you are dwelling in the house of the Lord, you have fellowship with God, the light of our salvation, and the lover of our souls. To behold the beauty of the Lord. People, think about when you saw something beautiful. It could be a mountain, could be a lakeside, could be the ocean, and sometimes it could be the desert. The desert can appear very beautiful at times. It's God who created that beauty in this world. It is the one who is ultimately beautiful in all things, who created that beauty. And when I stand there in Colorado Springs and I look at the mountains, I'm transfixed by the beauty of them. How much more so when we behold the beauty of God in His holiness? And what kind of motivation is that for us to radically dedicate ourselves to God? So that at the end, at that final day, when we stand before God, we are beholding and loving the beauty of the Lord. This is the desire of the psalmist, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And then he says next, to inquire in His temple. And is that not what Jesus Himself did when He was a young man and His parents took Him to Jerusalem? He tarried there in the temple, inquiring of the scribes and the Sadducees concerning things that as a child he should not have known. But he was inquiring. He went to the temple in order to inquire. And we should be going to the temple itself, the temple of the living God, our brothers and sisters, to inquire. There is a multitude of counselors, wisdom. And when we go to the temple and inquire, even us, who are ministers of God, we should be inquiring and finding out things ourselves and not thinking that we are the end-all and be-all of all knowledge. We inquire in His temple as Christ inquired in the temple of God as well. Therefore, brothers, radically dedicate yourself to God so that you will be saved in times of trouble. The next passage, verses 5 and 6. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret places of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon the rock. He will hide me in His pavilion. He will set me on the rock. And this setting on the rock is not a simple putting on top of. You're actually being set into the rock so that you cannot be moved. If I put you on top of a rock, a wave or wind might come to blow you over. But what it's a PL here in the Hebrew. It's a setting of setting. It's like truly, truly, this is a true truth. This is a real setting of yourself in the rock. And He will set you in the rock so that you will not be moved. And with joy, you will sing to the Lord because He has saved you. Therefore, radically dedicate yourself to God so that you will be saved in times of trouble. In verses 7 through 9, we see the cry of those who are radically dedicated to God. Verse 7 reads, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said unto thee, 'Thy face, Lord, will I seek.' Hide not thy face far from me. Put not on thy servant away in anger. You have been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." It is the cry of mercy. The psalmist here sees his inadequacies. He sees his sin. And he understands that he cannot stand by himself. He cannot radically dedicate himself to God. He cannot do these things of himself. He sees his sin and he cries to God, asking for help. And the cry for mercy and a cry for answer. And we have the promise of Jesus Christ that if you ask, it shall be given. And if you seek, you shall find. And if you knock, the door shall be opened. And he is confident in the fact that he has sought after the Lord, and that the Lord has set him upon the rock. And therefore, seeing his sin, he cries to God, asking for mercy, and he receives it. And then the desire of those radically dedicated to God, "Your face, O Lord, I seek." The command comes from God. And here the NIV mistranslates the passage. The NIV makes it look like my mind is talking to my heart, telling me to seek God. And then it says, "His face I will seek." But his face is not what the translation says. "My face it shall seek." But the desire of those follow the commands of God. In this passage, we have God saying, "Seek my face." And we have the cry and the answer of those radically dedicated to God. "Your face, O Lord, I seek." The instruction of those radically dedicated to God comes next. The instruction of father and mother have passed away. That's what he says here in verse 10. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." When my father and mother forsake me. Now the understanding here is whether or not the parents have passed away or whether they have just left him. The consensus is that the parents have passed away. His mother and father are no longer there to instruct him. No longer there to guide him. So who will be his guide? He will radically dedicate himself to God, and he will find instruction in the Lord. His father and mother have passed away, so he seeks the Lord for his instruction. The enemies of those who hate us seek to turn us away. Verse 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of mine enemies." He says, the enemies of us are trying to turn our hearts and minds away from the Lord Jesus Christ. The flesh, the world, the devil are all aligned to destroy your soul, to make you of none effect in this world. Brothers, cleave to the Lord. Radically dedicate yourself to God. Follow the instructions that God has given to us, and flee and fight against our enemies, because they seek to turn you away from the right path, from the level path. And thus the cry of those who are radically dedicated to God, seeing their sin in their lives, says, "Lord, lead me on the path. I can't do it myself. I need God to lead me in the path of righteousness, so that I might, at the end, behold the beauty of the Lord." Therefore, brothers, radically dedicate yourself to God.
so that you will be saved in times of trouble. And then the sustenance for those who are radically dedicated to God. We read that in verses 12 and 13. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. False witnesses will always arise in our lives. And they may not be false because of our sin nature. None of us are perfect. And you can always point out the faults of someone else and be right. But when you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the slanders of the devil cannot touch you. They cannot touch the soul of one who is radically dedicated to God. Because God has set him on the rock. Because he is God's child. And nothing can hurt him. They seek to destroy you. But your salvation is of the Lord. Those radically dedicated to God actually see the blessings of God through faith. Verse 13. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Unless I had believed, you would not see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the trust that this man, radically dedicated to God, is that he will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that is true faith, trusting in the promises of God. Therefore, brothers, radically dedicate yourself to God, so that you will be saved in times of trouble. When your enemies come up against you, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And finally, my brothers, the last verse. The psalmist says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And is this not the logical conclusion of everything that we have seen in this passage? To wait on the Lord is to trust in His promises, to look to Him, and not to try to solve your own problems in your own self, but to wait and trust in our Lord is a radical dedication of yourself to Jesus Christ. Is that not what we all desire to do? To behold the beauty of God on that last day. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we give thanks to you for your love and your kindness. We ask, Lord, that you would radically dedicate ourselves to you. For we are reminded of the covenanters who did so. With their own blood, they dedicated themselves to God. So, Lord, as we are descendants of the covenanters, take our hearts now, O Lord, and make us children of God. Set us on the rock. Glorify yourself in all things, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.